Stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The church gives us the whole month of November, in fact, to remind us about something that is perhaps often not easy to talk about or keep in front of our minds, and that is, it gives us the month of November to be mindful of death, or the return of Jesus in glory. One way or the other, we're going to meet Jesus. Either he will return before the end of our lives, in which case we are all caught up to meet Jesus in the air, or we will die and stand before God. Tonight, I'd like to focus on one particular aspect of our belief about death, and that is what we confess each time we pray the Apostles' Creed. In there, we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body. Now, probably most of us would say we believe in heaven. We probably even have a generic understanding of the resurrection, that means we'll be in heaven. But I wonder sometimes if we really understand what it means to say we believe in the resurrection of the body. I think sometimes we can reduce heaven to this kind of generic state where we are with God somehow. But in truth, as Christians, we understand that not just our souls, in some spiritual sense, will be in heaven, but our bodies as well. That's kind of astounding when you stop to think about it, that this body that I go through life with, that goes through all the ups and downs, that this very body will be in heaven. Now, we don't know exactly what that will look like, because it'll be a glorified body. St. Thomas Aquinas speculated on what age will we be in heaven then, since our bodies change. He thought we'd all be 33, since that's the age Jesus died at. I'm just a little past that now, and quite frankly, I hope to do a little bit better than that in heaven. So I'm looking for a little better than this, frankly. So I don't know if we'll all be 33. But there is a truth in which we have to say, on one hand, it will be our body, this body. But on the other hand, it's changed, it's glorified. People didn't recognize Jesus after the resurrection. And yet, when he revealed himself, they knew it was him. So it's this weird kind of mix. We don't know what a glorified body is like, other than to look at Jesus' glorified body and know that that's how we'll be. I think it's beautiful to look at, then, not only how we care for our bodies that in this life, to know that if they're going to be in heaven, we should treat them with great love and respect. Because it's not like, as the Platonists believe, those who followed Plato in the early church, they believed that we were really just souls, that what was good about us was our spiritual nature, and that our souls were kind of trapped in this body. For them, the goal then was to be free of the body, for the soul to leave the body and be free was the great goal. The Christians believe just the opposite. We recognize that we have a spiritual principle, but equally as important is our bodies. In fact, we are who we are because the two go together. We are body, soul, together in this life and destined to be that way forever in heaven. With that in mind, I'd like to focus on these last few minutes on something that is very practical. And that is the way we care then for the bodies of ourselves and our loved ones after death. If we look back to the practices of the early church, we see that it was typical of the pagans, the Romans in particular, around them, that when their loved ones died, they would cremate the remains, to burn them up. They believed that there was no life after death. And even those who might have believed in some life after death believed that the body was essentially bad. And so, at the end, there was nothing to do with the body except burn it up and throw it away because it was no longer good for anything. Notice what the Christians did, though. The Christians began to bury their dead fully inhumed as full bodies. And that's where, if you go to Rome, even to this day, lots of people love to go and visit the catacombs. And there, the catacombs are just an underground cemetery. Miles and miles of an underground city, literally, where the dead are buried. Because the Christians believe something quite different than what the pagans believed. And St. Paul alludes to this in our second reading. St. Paul tells us, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of those who have fallen asleep. Paul, along with the early church, uses this language of sleep to describe those who have died. Notice that sleep almost, it sounds very temporary. They had seen Jesus raise people that they thought were dead, and he says, get up, and they get up. He says, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. Little girl, arise, and she gets up. The early Christians saw the great power of Jesus over death, and so St. Paul, along with the early church, sees death so temporary as to merely call it sleep. This is why when the Christians went to bury their dead, and as we've done throughout history, we would bury the body fully alive, laid out as though sleeping. Because we await the call. The bridegroom is here on the last day. Perhaps we will hear that in this life, but St. Paul tells us that those of us who are alive at the end of the time when Jesus comes will in no way precede those who have fallen asleep. And he uses the beautiful image with the word of command, with the trumpet of God. They will be awakened. These very dead bodies that are laid to sleep in the ground will get up. That's what the word resurrection means. It means to stand up again. This is the great hope. We've reduced death that seemed like such an annihilation. The Romans who burn up their dead to say, this is it, it's over, it's done. This body is now worthless and life is over. To that, the Christians say, no, we will go to great length to preserve the body because this body will resurrect to stand up again. If we consider then this beautiful practice that holds so much hope for us, I just want to talk briefly about what the church really teaches then about how we treat the body at a funeral. Because most of us are aware that up until very recently, the church forbid cremation for Catholics, as most Christian churches did. About 25 years ago or so, people are maybe aware that the church said cremation could be allowed. But we don't normally know much about that, and all we know is that, well, we've been to some Catholic funerals and maybe we've seen the cremated remains there. The truth is, the church continues to teach what it always has, that cremation, while technically allowed now, is not our tradition and is not the preferred means of reverently caring for the bodies of our loved ones after death. Rather, the church says that if cremation is done, and I think we have to recognize that maybe there should be some kind of serious circumstances there that would maybe require this. But if cremation is done, the church says, first of all, it would be much preferred that we be able to celebrate the funeral rites with the body present and then have the cremation afterwards. There's something very important, I think, in a funeral, to be able to come and see our loved ones there looking as though they are asleep. It's part of the grieving process. So many times in a pastoral sense, I've seen the damage done when loved ones need to come and grieve and there is no body. Or there's just a little urn with some dust. And they say, well, that's grandma. That's hard. It kind of circumvents the whole grieving process. And then the other problems that come up with cremation is, what do we do then with the remains? You know, the church says if cremation is done, preferably after the funeral, but if the remains are present at the funeral, we're to go right to the cemetery, just like we do with a full body, to bury those remains. Under no circumstances, the church says, could we ever keep the remains on our mantelpiece or divide them amongst people or certainly not scatter them somewhere. Rather, even if cremation is chosen for some important reason, the church says that we must treat them just as we would the full body, because sadly this is all that's left of the body. And so we have the beautiful tradition of our cemeteries. One of the cemeteries that most comes to my mind is the one at the seminary where I went to school at Mundelein. Sometimes cemeteries can look kind of, you know, laid out in long rows, and because there was a limited number of people buried in the cemetery at Mundelein, all of the graves are arranged in kind of a semicircle, all pointing forward where there's a large statue of the angel of God holding his trumpet. And there's this kind of waiting going on there. And it talks about how the angel on the last day will blow his trumpet and the dead will rise. It's a beautiful image of all these bodies buried in the ground as if sleeping, waiting for that trumpet to arise. Now we know that God is fully capable of reassembling the matter that makes up our body in this life and indeed glorifying it. But there's also a very important sign value to burying our bodies. You know, the scriptures speak of burying our bodies, planting them as if a seed in the ground to patiently await to bear the fruit of eternal life. We know that decay of our bodies after death was not God's plan. We know that, yes, we return to dust, but this is a sad thing. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. God did not intend them to decay and turn to dust. It's a tragic consequence of the fall that that happens. That's why, to some extent, it seems like such a sad sign to hasten that and burn up our bodies in cremation. It's such a destructive kind of process, and not even all the bodies able to be burned, and they have to take the bones and grind them up, and it seems so violent, versus just lovingly taking our loved ones, putting them in the ground as though a seed, there to sleep and await the call of the Lord on the last day. You know, I pray that during this month of November, as we consider death, our own death, certainly, to prepare ourselves like these wise virgins, but also the death of our loved ones, we remember that the church teaches us that to bury the dead is actually a corporal work of mercy. That means it requires some effort. I fear that sometimes people choose cremation because they don't want to be a burden to people, or maybe they want to do something more cheaply. Remember, it's a great work of mercy to bury the dead. Let us make sure that as Christians, we especially have the opportunity to bury our loved ones whole and entire, if at all possible. There are certainly extenuating circumstances. People who die overseas, and it would be great expense to ship a body home, and certainly things like that. But for the most part, can we do the best we can as Christian brothers and sisters to lovingly care for the bodies of our loved ones? In life, they were the temples of the Holy Spirit. As we recall death, let us never forget that our bodies always remain the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that one day we will hear the voice of God. We will hear the beautiful trumpet of the angel, and these very bodies will stand up again and awake from our sleep. May we remember the shortness of our life and even the shortness of death to know that heaven is what lasts. May our treatment of our bodies in this life and in death point us towards heaven in that great day of awakening.